Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Sunday of the Word. Well, actually, every Sunday is the Sunday of the Word, for it is our privilege as the redeemed in Christ Jesus to gather together this day and to hear the Word of God proclaimed. The word that slays, the word that brings us to recognize our sins, and then the saving word of the gospel that turns us anew to Christ Jesus, our Savior. The word is proclaimed in the church, not just in this congregation, but the word all around the world in Christian assemblies, in every place, for the word of God has been proclaimed in every time and will continue to be proclaimed. In today's gospel reading, we have an example, a parable, a picture of what the Word of God does and what it accomplishes. The Word of God gives us life in Christ. And again, the Word of God is sown among us like seed. And think of your Savior, Jesus Christ, as the one who sows that seed. A great crowd was gathering around Jesus. People from every town came to him to hear his word, to hear his teaching, possibly as well to be healed of various diseases. Maybe the demoniacs were brought to him by those who loved them, that Jesus might cast out the demons that afflicted them with a mere word of command, the word of God, the word of God that shatters the gates of hell, the word of God that sets the captives free, the word of God that it is again our privilege to hear on this Sunday. So Jesus tells the crowd that a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, the sower was very indiscriminate about where he cast that seed. Now, the farming practice of the day was to sow the seed and then to till the soil that the seed might be covered with the soil. So in a way, the sower cast out his seed in what seems to be an indiscriminate manner, as the word of God goes forth in an indiscriminate manner to all the world. As the sower sowed, some seed fell along the path that was hardened by the passing of many a human foot. And the soil was trampled underfoot, and then lo and behold, the birds of the air, a free lunch, they came down and they devoured the seed. Isn't that a nice pastoral, bucolic picture there? But as Jesus will explain in the parable, no, it is not. And then some of the seed fell on the rock. This was not in rocky soil, but a thin layer of rock, a shelf of rock, over which was just a scant inch or two of soil. And it grows, it sprouts up. But then it withers away because it had no moisture. It failed to put down roots, the seed that was sown, into the soil. Jesus goes on in this parable, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it. They grew at a faster rate, and they choked the seed. It did not get the sunlight it needed, the plants that sprouted up. They did not get the moisture they needed, and they were outgrown, outpaced by the weeds, the thistles, the thorns, and the tares that grew faster than the plants that sprouted from the seed. And finally, Jesus says, some of the seed fell into good soil, soil that was properly prepared and grew and yielded 100-fold. Where there was one seed sown, 100 plants, well, not 100 plants, but the plant that sprang up bore clusters of grain 100 times more than that single seed that was sown. And then Jesus tells the hearers of his parable, and he speaks to us as well. In a word of command, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When the girls were younger and I had something important to tell them, I would say, okay, turn on your ears and pay attention. And that is what our Lord Jesus Christ bids us do in the gospel reading for today. I see everyone here has ears. Hear then the word of the Lord. Hear then the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is no slight matter. It's not something concerning who won the Super Bowl in 1974. It's not a matter of who was Secretary of State when Andrew Jackson was president. Does anyone know that, by the way? I thought not. This is a matter of the most important thing of all, the most blessed privilege of all, to hear Christ's word, to hear the word of God. Use those ears you've got to take in the word. Use that mind God has given you, that as the Holy Spirit works through the word, you would understand. And may that word be planted deeply in your heart, bringing forth the faith that clings to Christ alone. Thus far, the parable. The disciples, being disciples of our Lord, had the privilege to ask him what this parable meant. What does this mean? The disciples were Lutherans. What does this mean? This is what we ask as we hear the word of God proclaimed. We're to grapple with that word. That word is to force its way into our understanding. Because, again, it's a word that does that. Anyway, Jesus says to the disciples after they ask what this parable means, and what he says to the disciples applies to you as well. To you it has been given. To you it has been given by God the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Think about that. God has graciously caused his word to be heard and learned by you, so that you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What are those mysteries? Well, the New Testament refers to many things as mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of Christ taking upon himself our human flesh and blood, becoming incarnate for us and our salvation. The word mystery in the Latin is related to the word sacrament, a sacred thing. And the sacrament of baptism is a mystery. How can mere water do such things? It is not just the water, but the word of God in and with the water that does such great things, washing away sin, bringing forth a new creation in Christ Jesus of the one who is baptized. It is a mystery that in the bread and wine, Christ Jesus gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Who can understand this thing? And yet Christ says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of all of your sins." See, it is to you that God has given knowledge of these mysteries. It is for you that God has given you knowledge of these mysteries. And you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as you hear the word. as by God's grace you understand and absorb the word, as through the very word that is preached, God himself makes good soil, makes your hearts to be good soil that receive the word and bear fruit. As Jesus says in the other Gospels, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. But to others, Jesus speaks in parables that they are not able to understand, that though their eyes are open, their eyes just scan right past these important truths. That itself is a mystery. Why is it this way with others? Why do they hear the very same parables of our Lord and yet not see what he's getting at, not understand his meaning? And that itself, as I said, is a mystery, something beyond our understanding. We do know that God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that God has delayed the return of our Lord to give others time to repent and believe the gospel. And we do know this, that if we do not hear and understand, if we do not see, guess what? It's our fault. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, and yet you would not have it. So we have here another mystery that we Lutherans do not explain or attempt to explain, why some are saved and not others. Rather, we leave that to a God who is infinitely wiser than we are. A God who calls us to hear the word and to proclaim the word. Because again, that word is a life-giving word. It's a forgiving word. It's a saving word. It's a word that accomplishes things that we cannot begin to comprehend. And yet, the Lord God tells us that as the rain and snow come down from heaven, they don't return from there, but before watering the earth and making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so in the same way shall be my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, that for which I sent it. It shall succeed in. Or as our Lord Jesus Christ put it in the Gospel of St. Matthew and St. Luke, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Some hear the word, and they hear it with the outward ears, but it does not work faith in their heart, because their hearts are like trampled soil. And Jesus says the devil comes and snatches away the word from their hearts. And the result is they do not believe. They are not saved. The ones on the rock, Jesus says, are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. But they have no root. They grow slack in their faith. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, in the time of temptation, in the time of affliction which comes upon them on account of that word, they fall away because they have no roots in the word of God. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But then as they go their own way through life, there are all these distractions, all these things that they think demand their attention, that need their attention. They're focused on the cares of life, the anxieties, the riches and pleasures of life. But these things choke out the word that God has given, that God has sown, and their fruit does not mature. And then there is the good soil. the good soil which God the Holy Spirit has prepared through the word itself. The good soil is those who hear the word. They hold it fast, clutch it to themselves in an honest and good heart, a heart made pure by the word of God, and they bear fruit with endurance, with patience, in a long-suffering way, not just for the short haul, but for the long haul of discipleship, from the font to the grave. You can see this as applying to different groups of people. And we can also pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves. Hey, I'm the good soil. But rather, let us see it this way. This parable, in its entirety, applies to each one of us. How many times does the devil attempt to snatch away the saving word from our midst? How many times does the devil try to convince us? And thanks be to God, I've heard so many of you say that it just does not seem right if you aren't in church on Sunday to receive the gifts of God. That gladdens my heart. But how many times does the devil seek to snatch away the word from us? How many times does the word fail to take root deeply in us? Again, this is always a temptation that we face. How many times are we distracted from the word by other things that, in the grand scheme of things, are not important? We've all been there. We've all experienced this. So what do? We cry out to God that we would hear His word, and that word would accomplish His work among us. And we cry out to God for this because we are His children. We have been made a new creation in Christ. We have the privilege of knowing that God is our Heavenly Father. We have the privilege of knowing, as the Holy Spirit works through the gospel, that Jesus is our Savior, that He has done all things necessary for our salvation. We have the privilege of hearing and learning the Word. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. She who has ears to hear, let her hear. By God's grace in Christ, may each of us be one of those who hears the word of God and believes it and brings forth fruit, the fruit of salvation. And that's why we're here. That's why we gather. That's why we confess our sins and are absolved. That's why we sit through a sermon that lasts 20 minutes and may even seem to last an eternity. That's why we come to the sacrament, to receive the word, the life-giving word of Jesus, about Jesus, to you and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Savior.